This week I had a chance to talk to a couple I've known them all my life. Actually, they're our aunt and uncle. And we had a chance to see them when we were in the mountains this week. They've been going to the same church for years and years. Matter of fact, my uncle was a deacon there. And he got really sick for an extended period of time. Never heard from the pastor. Never heard from any of the deacons. Never heard from any of the leadership in the church. They were devastated. And they haven't been back. As I was talking with them, I got to thinking about the very little thing. Is that the Holy Spirit calling Nancy? I'm just messing with you. And the little stuff. A card. A text. A phone call. Would have helped. As I was searching for my message, this was on Thursday night, as I was searching for my message, I felt like this was shown to me for a reason. I go down, I get my hair cut, been going to the same lady for years. The haircuts have been taking less and less time as time's gone by to the moment I think it's going to be one of those eventually. But we were talking, and we start talking about a lot of stuff. You know, we talk about family, we talk about all this. She's had a really hard year. Her dad passed away after a long bout with cancer, and he was down in Florida, and she has had her own, like, really close relative. All this lady wanted out of the entire thing everything her dad had was a stack of shirts about this high. Another relative who saw fit to grab all of his generator's tools, his two 1955 automobiles, every firearm he had, and everything else, literally called her a thief. Because she got this many old t-shirts to remember his smell, to make a pillow. Little things, those little words hung all together, produced a weapon that gashed her spiritually. It gashed this family. The family is now split right down the middle. Little things. I began to realize what it was I was supposed to speak about. The little things, the little words. Words have an amazing effect on us. Whether we need to hear them or we shouldn't hear them. The first instance I saw, we're thinking about you. We're praying for you. We miss you. My uncle was a senior deacon. He participated in the search that found this pastor. Pastor's more interested in getting in new people than remembering the people that are there. And it happens. I hope it don't ever happen here. More so than the dynamic of it, the little words. Little words that could have been spoken and could have helped prevent all these hard feelings. Now, they're in their late 60s, early 70s, looking for a church home when they thought they would never have to. In the lady cuts my hair's case, blood relative, who had taken anything of value their father had, begrudging her half a dozen t-shirts. The words that were spoken are sharp as razors. Even if the wounds heal, the scars will always be there. Two researchers wrote a book on the power of words in the human mind. Some of their findings, words such as peace and love, alter the expression of the genes, strengthen areas in our frontal lobes of our brain. promoting the brain's cognitive functioning. It actually helps us think better when we hear the words peace, love, or have it told to us. They kick our motivational centers into action. They actually make us want to do more. And they help build resiliency. So when you have bad situations, you bounce back a little faster. On the flip side, hostile language, they actually can prevent neurochemicals that are being produced as part of a stress response. So they can actually inhibit the body's natural stress response and make you even more whacked out. That's not really what they used in the study, but that's what it ends up being. We're hardwired to worry. Part of our primal brains protecting us from threats to our survival. So our thoughts automatically go there. And we end up thinking about this, the negativity, the bad side. And a single negative word increases activity in the fear center of our brain. It releases dozens of stress-producing hormones and neurotransmitters, which ends up putting our paranoia and ends up putting our base reactions in high gear. The authors of the Bible recognize the effects of our words on ourselves and others. Our words can have a creative power to them. How did God create the world? Through his words. Genesis, let there be light. What's funny is no other Near East religion, the gods had to use their hands to form things. This is the power of words for God. What is a name for Jesus? The Word. John chapter 1. The Word became flesh. Our words. Think about all the stories you've ever heard. They were just words strung together to form images that our minds can make visual images from. But think about those little, simple little things that could change the story. Where a knot, or where you leave out a couple words, or you interject some negative words in it. Changes the entire meaning. The simple little things in our lives. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. First four verses, James talks about, which James is half-brother of Jesus. He was one of the first leaders of the church in Jerusalem. Words can be used to direct. In verses 3 and 4, James talks about a bit into a horse or the rudder of a boat. Really small things, but they can be used to guide and direct a massive animal or a massive ship. They're small, they're powerful. The horse's bit is a small bar inserted into the horse's mouth and attached to a leather bridle. The bit allows the person, the rider, control the horse's movement, and the rudder is a piece of wood at the back of the boat, which is used to turn the boat. They exert enormous power in the same way human tongue does. The tongue is a small organ in the body, but the words it creates or doesn't create are full of tremendous power. How many wars have been started by skilled speakers? Before the charges, there's the rhetoric. There are the speeches. In verse 2, James wrote about if we can control what we say, we can control our entire body. How many have mastered the art of saying the right thing at the right time? I have not. As my other half will attest to, I'm a work in progress. I probably always will be. Not only can the tongue control everything around itself, it has great destructive power. In verses 5 and 6, James compares words and fire. What do they have in common? The destructive forces of both can start small and spread quickly. Both can do wide-ranging damage, and both can quickly become uncontrollable. Think about the California fires that have spread, destroyed so many acres, so many miles. The fires a few years ago in Pigeon Forge, in Gatlinburg. A lot of the places, like Braden and I hiked several hikes there that ended up a week later being destroyed. Went out of control, spread fast, killed several people. How many of us have ever felt like we've been the victim of verbal arson? One small little match. One caustic word. One comment. And spreads. The gossip spreads a lot faster than the truth does, and they can be extremely painful and damaging. Someone says anything about you, to you, and it spreads like wildfire. That happened to me. When I separated from my ex-wife, I had no idea the life I had been living. Evidently, it was a very interesting one. I don't know if none of it ever actually happened. But it was spread like wildfire. How many times have we had people spread something about you that's nowhere near the truth, but it's all over? When the little act of just telling the truth and just admitting. Once a fire started, it takes on a life of its own. And once a hurtful thing is said, you can't unsay it. When a lie is told, you can't transform it into the truth. The lie is usually a lot more interesting than the truth is, and it takes hold of itself. When the reputation has been destroyed, you can't mend it. Richard Jewell. They're making a movie about him now, but very few people looked at that man's story. That man tried to save lives when there was a bombing in Centennial Park in Atlanta. Ruthless media and a corrupt attorney general. That's just my own opinion. It's not the church opinion, but they ruined that man's life. Even after he was found by a civil jury of no wrongdoing, he ended up dying of a heart attack, stress related. Friendships have been ruined, families have been shattered, churches have been split wide open. Ministries have been destroyed, whole nations have gone to war by the power of words, whether they're said or unsaid. James warns us not to underestimate the power of words. He compares the tongue to dangerous wild animals. I've accidentally been scratched by a cat, and I've been intentionally gutted by someone with their lies and horrible words. A lot of times, I'd rather take my chances with the bears and the lions. James points out that many wild animals can be tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. In verse 8, James compares the tongue to a restless evil full of deadly poison. You look at the sources of our words that come from the flesh, our sin nature. When God isn't calling the shots in our lives, our sin nature is. Paul wrote about these in Galatians. Immorality, impurity, debauchery, witchcraft, idolatry. We may not worship a statue, but don't we worship things? If God's supposed to be the center of our life, but it's not, it's one of these. Or it's chasing a dollar. Aren't we really participating in idol worship? And that's kind of hard when you step back and you start looking at it and you think, okay, exactly what have I been doing? Hate and discord. Hatred is one of those things that's been really confusing the last several years, the last 10 or 15. The hatred don't mean what it used to mean. Hatred can mean now, you disagree with me, therefore you're a hateful person. No, that means I just disagree with you. But hatred, pure hatred, is something that it can destroy a person. It can destroy relationships. It can destroy churches. But there's a difference between hatred and just disagreeing with somebody's opinion. Because we disagree about something doesn't mean I don't like you or I want to hurt you. But pure hatred, where you hate that person with your heart, will destroy you. It will. I've had pure hatred in my heart, and it will burn to the ground. Anything that's allowed to smolder in it. Jealousy. Heard Dave say many times, this whole world would be a better place without greed and jealousy. How many times have you been driven to do something out of envy for someone, for what someone else has? I've been there, where you see the nice cars and you see this and that, and you end up doing something out of jealousy. Not out of your desire to have. I mean, you want to have what someone else has, and it gets you into trouble. Fits of rage. Anger isn't a sin in itself. God's been angry. Jesus has been angry. When he pulled that rope out and started whipping and turning over tables, he got angry. Anger itself is not a sin, but it can make us more prone to having sinful behavior. It's what we do with the anger. Dissension. Proverbs 26:20, without a wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Drunkenness. I'm not throwing stones at anybody that drinks a beer now and then. But you need to be aware, how many times has the influence of alcohol or drugs led to tragedy and words spoken that can't be taken back, or words that should have been spoken and they weren't? We're given a certain amount of time on this earth. None of us but God knows. I've seen a lot of words held back till it was too late. And I've seen a lot of words fired, just like they were fired out of a gun that couldn't be pulled back. And no one added the "I'm so sorry, please forgive me," until it was too late. Little words, little things, but so many times not spoken. Or like when Braden was growing up, I used to give him the six word rule. That if he would just shut up 6 words before he did, his life would have been a lot better. He did not listen to that very much. He still doesn't. In these verses, James said that when used right, words have the power to delight. Like most things in this life, tools can have a positive or a negative use. These verses, James reminds us that the tongue's inconsistent. It can praise God 1 minute and curse man who's made in God's image the next. In nature, we don't hardly see this kind of inconsistency. Fountains don't give sweet water 1 minute and salt water the next. Fruit trees don't give figs 1 year and olives the next. If the other things in nature are consistent, why is the tongue such a paradox? Truth is, the tongue, the words we say, the words we don't say, the little things that can make such a difference are a reflection of what's in our heart. It's really, honestly, a reflection of what's in our heart. That pastor from that other church, his mind, I think, was on building a congregation and forgetting ministry starts right here. For me, ministry starts in my home, and it starts here because y'all are family. And God will help with the rest of it. Sometimes our pride And I say, this is Pastor, our pride in, I have to remind myself, the church isn't about numbers. Sometimes I get caught up in the statistics and the numbers, and I have to realize that ain't it. If we make a difference in one person's life, all this has been worth it. But you can find yourself getting trapped in that and trying to get more and more people and reaching out more and more people, and you forget these folks right here need you, because we all stumble. And in our zeal to fill the seats, we can leave off those little things. And our hearts become prideful. On the other side, the lady cuts my hair, her relative, greed and jealousy can drive so many things, including put a mouth in the gear when the brain is still in neutral. According to Jesus, we're all going to be judged in our words one day. Matthew 12, 36 and 37, Jesus said, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they should be given accounting for on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." We have to ask, what's in your heart right now? Right now, what are you thinking about? Is it about getting Jesus in your life? Or is it about getting to the door? I've been on both sides. And I've actually, if I truthfully answer, sometimes, some Sundays, it's on one or the other. As I was writing this, I started thinking about all the little things in my life that I wish I had said, and I wish I hadn't said. Our words carry weight and they carry power with them. And we have a choice when we leave out of here how we use them. A couple words can bring someone in these church doors. A couple words could keep people from ever coming in them. I've been blessed to have met a lady that didn't go to church for years and years. And she's come to our church a few times, but she had some words spoken to her that kept her out of the church for years and years and years. The little things have power. And I think they're as much of a business card for us as anything else. The little things. Like when you first looked at someone that was saved, someone that was truly saved, was it the grand idea? Was it like a grand performance? Or was it the little things you noticed about them? The little words. The little things they said are more important than the little things they didn't. When I first really started getting into church, and we started coming to this church, it wasn't beating over my head. And that made a ton of difference. Have you been putting off words that you need to say? Or have you been putting off apologizing for things that shouldn't have been said? Have you had terrible things said to you and you're holding on to them right now? And it's human nature if you do. I will think of things that was said to me years ago, and I didn't realize that I'm still holding on to it. Whenever I see that person or see something that reminds me of them, I still have it there. It's a conscious effort to let that go. If all these words that were said and not said have got a mess in your heart and you don't know what to do, ask for the word, Jesus Christ, come into your heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And ask for Jesus to guide your thoughts, your words, your heart. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then songs will be playing, the altars will be open. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Father, probably most of us are thinking about things we've said, things that were said to us, or things we wish had been said to us. Father, our words can be beautiful things, and they can be hurtful as well. The absence of needed words, little tiny words, can change the direction of our lives. Father, put your words in our hearts, Father. Put them in there. Tattoo them on our hearts. Lead us and guide us in our words and our actions and the things we do and don't say as we leave these walls, as we go out into this world. Father, the Holy Spirit can work through us in the simplest of ways with the greatest of effects. Father, look into each heart. Right here, right now, you see scars, you see wounds, you see regrets. Father, touch them. Help them to heal those wounds and deal with those regrets. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.